Luke chapter 2. The message today is the Father's business. The main portion is from Luke 2. And then to supplement what this introduces, let me read you some verses from the Gospel of John. Luke 2 and start at verse 41. And his parents went every year to Jerusalem at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they were returning, the boy Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And his parents knew it not. But supposing him to be in the company, they went a day's journey, and they sought for him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they returned to Jerusalem seeking for him. And it came to pass, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said unto him, Child, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, Why is it that you were seeking me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he was subject unto them. And his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Notice the words, my father's business. I will tell you about that later. Now, John 5. Our Savior has healed a man on the Sabbath day, and his enemies are accusing him. Verse 17. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh even until now, and I work. For this cause, therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only brake the Sabbath, but also called God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Now, chapter 9. A man born blind comes across the path of the Lord Jesus, and concerning that man, our Savior speaks to his disciples. Verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me, while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. When I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And let me mention that some very ancient manuscripts in verse 4 say, we must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. And 19, chapter 19, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things are now finished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. There was set there a vessel full of vinegar. So they put a sponge full of the vinegar upon hyssop, and brought it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for all things that you've told us about your Son, about his birth, about his life, about his death, his resurrection, his coming again. Father, so many things you've told us, so very little about these things, but enough to satisfy our hearts until we see him face to face, and then shall we fully know, even as we are fully known. From the portions we've read today, we desire to understand somewhat about your business, the Father's business, and by your Spirit this shall be accomplished. So prepare the hearts of those who are listening and empower the lips of him who speaks, and give us an enjoyable, profitable time this hour, we pray. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Son, go work today in my vineyard. And the son answered him, I will not. That sounds very familiar to parents today. But this man had two sons, and the first one that he spoke to and told him, go work today in my vineyard. His reply may have been rude, but it was not ambiguous. He said to his father, I'm not going. I will not. Now think of that father who had two sons that gave various answers when it came to doing his business. And then think of the portion that I read to you in Luke chapter 2 concerning the father who had one son and had business to do, and the answer he gave concerning that business. He said, what? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? These are the first recorded words that our Savior ever spoke. He was 12 years old when they were spoken. And except for Luke, we would know nothing after the birth of Christ about the Christ until he was 30 years of age. But thank God for this brief incident in his life when his parents took him to Jerusalem at the Passover. And the marvel is this. From the one verse of Scripture, when our Savior answers his mother's question, you have sufficient light to interpret as the person and the work and the life that was going to be his from the age of 12 until the age of 30. And that is why I read you the other portions in the Gospel of John, continuing what our Savior spoke when he was 12 years of age, the Father's business. This is what he said. Did you not know? How is it? Why is it that you were seeking me? Did you not know and understand that I must be about my Father's business? Now, concerning these words, if you have a version more modern, it's translated this way. Did you not know I must be in my Father's house? They have to do something to get that interpretation from the words, because literally the words are these. He said, what? Did you not know that I must be in the things of my Father? Which they legitimately and beautifully translate in its fullness, and giving us an understanding of it in its fullness, wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business? If he's in the things of his Father, he is in his Father's business. He is about his Father's business. And so, two things, two sentences are spoken when our Savior is 12 years old, and they reveal truth concerning his parents, and concerning himself, bringing us up to that point as to how much information he had, as to who he was, and as to the spiritual condition of his parents, in these two sentences. When they sought him, his mother said to him, "Son," and the word is child, "child, why have you dealt with us this way? Your father and I sought thee sorrowing. We were distressed. Our hearts were filled with anguish. Why did you deal with us this way?" And please notice the answer, that our Savior made no apology for what he was doing. And when his mother asked a question, he was amazed at the question his mother asked him, because he had taken for granted that his mother knew things that she did not understand. Because, and here is what some people hate to acknowledge, that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And if there were, concerning our Savior's teaching, something that you might criticize, it would be this, that he always expected more of those he taught and those that were around him. He expected more of them than they actually possessed. Our Savior said on one occasion to his disciples, he said, "Beware of the leaven of the scribes and of the Pharisees." And his disciples said, "Oh dear, he's criticizing us because we forgot to take bread." And he said to them, "How is it that you think I'm talking about bread? Do you not understand? I performed two miracles. I fed 5,000 and 4,000. Why is it that you're thinking about bread?" He took for granted that they would be able to grasp the enigmatical words, "Beware of the leaven of the scribes and of the Pharisees." But they were unable to comprehend it. So often he spoke to them, and they did not understand what he said. And for that reason, it is a fault so often of preachers that they take for granted that you know more than you do. And so I shall not take for granted that you know more than you do, but shall consider it realistically that you may not understand any more than his parents understood, because he was marveling that his parents were seeking him. Why are you seeking him? And he was marveling because they did not know that he must be about his father's business. Now, first of all, he so succinctly put the things that were in his mind that when he spoke to his mother, think of how she spoke to him. "Child, why have you dealt with us this way? Behold, your father and I have sought you sorrowing." He said, "Why is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" She said, "Your father and I sought you." And he said, "Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" Had she forgotten in those 12 years that the angel Gabriel came and told her about this miraculous conception, and that holy thing which would be begotten of her would be called the Son of God? Had she forgotten all of those things? However it might be, the Lord Jesus, from the time he was born, and this is what I contend, even though he increased in wisdom and stature, I do not take it that he for 12 years lived not knowing who he was, not realizing that he was God manifest in the flesh. And suddenly it came to him, and he said to himself, "Well, I've been walking around here on earth, and why, I'm God, and I've just discovered it." That's what some people would have you to believe. But our Savior said prophetically, he said, "I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou didst make me trust when I was upon my mother's breast." I take it that our Savior, as much as in his humanity he was able to know, and as he was controlled by the Spirit of God, he knew who he was from the beginning. And when did he begin to trust his Father? He said, you made me to trust upon my mother's breast, and that is from the beginning. Thou art my God from my mother's womb. But now the Lord Jesus makes a declaration as to what he was doing, and he marveled that his parents did not understand the things that he understood so clearly. That she would say to him, your father and I sought you sorrowing. Whereas the Lord Jesus said, I must be about my father's business. Now there are some things that parents look upon their children and wonder why they do such things. And most of the time, they wonder why they do not do such things. But the Lord Jesus expected of them to know certain things concerning themselves, and he expected them to know certain things concerning him, and that his mission in life was to do his father's business, and that they would be surprised that he was going about his father's business. But they were unable to comprehend it. Think of this, because it is a beautiful touch. The Father's business on that day was to be in the temple learning the teaching of the Word of God. You say, learning the teaching of the Word of God, precisely. Because some, since our Savior is God manifest in the flesh, say, he never learned in his humanity. He knew everything from the beginning. Why, Luke has told us that he increased in wisdom. If he increased in wisdom, then he did not have all the wisdom at the first, but proportionately, in perfect proportion, he had wisdom as he grew year by year. Why, it was like Hannah, who brought her little son Samuel a new coat year by year. Why? Because he was growing physically. And it said Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. And so here, our Savior has developed to a certain stage, and he understands what his Father's business is, and the Father's business that day was for him to be in the temple learning scriptures and their interpretation in a way that he was not able to receive from the synagogue that he attended in Nazareth. How do I know that? Because of the reaction of those that were in that synagogue when he returned and gave his first discourse as publicly sent forth by the Father. He read from Isaiah 61 and gave an interpretation. And when they heard him preach, they were ready to throw him over the brow of the hill and put him to death. Those were the people he dwelt with for 30 years in Nazareth. But not all people in Jerusalem were that way. Because there was Joseph of Arimathea, there was Nicodemus, there were those such as Simeon and Anna. They were fine people in Jerusalem. And the keenest minds, even though some of them in comparison to Christ, he had to say to Nicodemus, are you the teacher in Israel and knowest not these things? But for a 12-year-old boy, there were precious instructions that these men had, and the Lord Jesus must know those teachings. Once he is given those teachings, he can pursue them. It's like this. Mozart, as a child, when he was 5 years old, before he was able to write, music was in his mind, and he was copying it down and blotting ink all over the page. But his father picked it up and looked at it and said, this is remarkable. Here is a piece of music that this child has written. And so he had a comprehension at that age, and he wanted to learn more. And whenever he was taught one lesson, that was all that was sufficient, he could take that lesson and develop it and perfect it and then he would go on to the next lesson. And in like manner, when the Lord Jesus would be told some portion of Scripture, they might tell it to him. But then his mind would, because of the wisdom that was his, develop it and understand it to the full. And so his father's business for 30 years was preparation for service for 3.5 years. How remarkable. So much preparation for so few years of service. And yet Christ understood it. You realize that when the Lord Jesus was anointed by the Spirit of God and went forth to teach publicly everything that he ever needed to know, all arguments that he had with the people, all questions that he was asked, everything that was essential for him to understand, the prophecies contained in the Old Testament concerning himself that were to be fulfilled, the Lord Jesus had them in his grasp. And whatever temptation came, the Lord Jesus had already committed to memory those scriptures that were sufficient to drive away the tempter. Why, the first test when he was 30 years of age was for 40 days in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And every time he was tempted of the devil, the Lord Jesus had hidden in his heart the word of God, and he came back with that answer. And not only so, please notice this now. He knew the answers to all the temptations that would come. He would fight them off with the word of God. And today, when this question is asked by his parents, he has the answer to that, knowing who he is. That is theological. But when he's 30 years of age, also, when he reads this portion from the Word of God, he knows whom it concerns, and he knows precisely that this is the day that that Scripture is being fulfilled. All those years of preparations put him in perfect position to answer, to minister, to do his Father's business. Because when he read Isaiah 61, he said, "Today has this scripture been fulfilled in your hearing?" And so he had learned from Isaiah 61 that this is what he as the Messiah was to do as to his father's business, and this was the day that that scripture was being fulfilled. Notice, he knew his father's business and what it was when he was 12 years of age. And he knew his father's business from the age of 12 until he was 30 years of age. And then he knew his father's business from 30 years of age until he uttered those last words on the cross. "It is finished." What? What? The work that the father gave him to do. The work that he, when he was 12 years of old, was engaged in. And the work that he began publicly when he was 30 years of age, and the word that was completed to perfection when he hung upon the cross. Think of all the preparation of the Son of God. And on the cross, he knew that there was one scripture that had not been fulfilled. "They gave me vinegar to drink, gall to drink." And therefore he cried out, "I thirst." And when he said that, then he prepared for that scripture to be fulfilled, and they put vinegar in a sponge on a reed and put it to his lips. And when he had tasted it, he said, "It is finished." Here is our Savior, who at the age of 12 knew what his father's business was. Here was the Son of God, who at the end of his life knew what his father's business was, and it is with significance that his first utterance at 12 and his last utterance before he went to be with his father were the words, "My Father." He said, "What wished ye not that I must be about my father's business?" when he was 12 years of age. And when he was 33 years of age, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And so the first thing we learn of our Savior when he's 12 is that he is aware that God is his Father. And at the end of his life, even though his God had forsaken him, he knew that all of this was past. Yes, he appeared once to bear the sins of many, but he shall never again bear sins. They have been dealt with forever. He will never again be forsaken. And now, his heart, in perfect communion with his Father again, having been made sin, he says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Here is one who knows his Father's business, what it is, when it's time to learn, and he knows his Father's business when it is finally been completed. And I'm wondering if this has anything to do with your understanding and the life that you have lived for God. The Lord Jesus was taken aback that his parents did not understand about the Father's business and his interest, his involvement in it. And what marvels me is this, that you who do not believe in clergy and laity, yet you think that you are to be fed, you are to be taught, all of those who speak to you are to know, but you are not to be involved in all. You see, we have those that teach us and feed us, but we are those that are, would you say, you are the laity, and those that teach you are the clergy. You would say, this would never be done, and yet that's the way that most of us behave. Whereas I read you these verses of Scripture to show you the different ways that the Father's business was understood by Christ. Now listen. At first he says, I must be about my Father's business. Then, in John 5, he says, after his public ministry is begun, he says, my Father worketh until now, and I work. You see, he associates himself then with his Father. My Father is working, I am working. And then, in the text that I gave you in John 9, the most ancient manuscript says this, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. He associates himself with his apostles because they are, whatever the text may mean, they are his fellow workers. And that was his prayer in Matthew chapter 9. He looked and he saw the multitudes coming to him, and they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he said, the harvest indeed is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye that the Lord of the harvest send forth laborers into the harvest. And in that garden of Gethsemane, he said, watch with me. And so he wanted people to pray with him and to watch with him. And he wanted men to work with him. Pray that the Father send forth laborers into the vineyard. And so here are you, and there is one that is teaching you, but all of you should be teaching. And when by reason of time you should be teachers, you have need that someone else teach you the rudiments of the things of God. But it was not so with Christ. From the time that he came of age, 12, a son of the law, he was in the things of his Father. He was about his Father's business. And then, and this is the marvel, he went back to Nazareth with them at 12 and was subject to them until he was 30 years of age. You say, how could that be the Father's business? Because the Ten Commandments not only say about God being supreme, thou shalt have no other gods before me, the same commandments say, thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. And his Father's business at that time was being at the temple learning the word of God from the teachers, the learned men who knew the Scriptures. But at the end of that day, the Father's business was to go back to Nazareth and labor as a carpenter and be in subjection to his father and mother. Isn't that a marvel? And yet we are not even aware of the Father's business, how varied it is, but the Lord Jesus knew. He said from Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to open the eyes of the blind, to proclaim release to the captives. He knew all of these things that he was to do. And so some days, he said, this is a day that my Father's business is to heal. Because it says, the Spirit of God was upon him. The power of God was upon him to heal. And at other days, He did no healing. This is the day that I am to speak the word of God in a certain way. You may find that in Matthew 13. No less than 10 parables were spoken on that day. And his father's business that day was to bring out of his treasure things new and old. And that is what he did. On another day, he was to heal the brokenhearted. Think, here is this mother, this widow of Nain, and her son has died, and she's going to bury him. And the Lord Jesus says, this is the day that I am to heal the brokenhearted. And he stops the bier, and he says, arise. And he takes the son and gives him back to his mother. The Lord Jesus knew the Father's business when it was to study, when it was to labor as a carpenter, when it was to heal, when it was to preach, when it was to retire into the wilderness and pray unto his Father. And the Lord Jesus would have us to know the Father's business. Because when Christ was 30 years of age, he said, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. That's what he is to do. He associates himself with his Father. And then he associates himself with the apostles. And he says, we must work the works of him who sent me while it's day. And then, thank God, he said this in John 17. I glorified thee on the earth, having finished the work that thou gavest me to do. And so our Savior, his whole life long, was spent preparing and then accomplishing and then completing the business of the Father. God has business on earth, and his Son knew what it was, and his Son was engaged in his Father's business, and he wants you to know what that Father's business is, because now the Lord Jesus is not in the world bodily as he was in the days of his flesh. Because he said, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And he said in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, are you doing the Father's business? It is our responsibility to witness and tell the wonderful things that Jesus Christ has done, that he loves you, that he died for you on the cross, and that he's coming again, and he wants you to be ready. God has business in the world, and he wants you to be involved in that business. May the day come when we shall be able to say with the Son, I must be about my Father's business. Time is gone. Let us have a song.